So let us be still as we prepare to worship God. In the words from the psalmist, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. So we're going to, might please God, hopefully light our first Advent candle electronically. Ho ho! So, James, could you do the magic? Here we go. So we say together, loving God, as we enter this Advent season, we open all the dark places in our lives and memories to the healing light of Christ. Show us the creative power of hope. Prepare our hearts to be transformed by you, that we may walk in the light of Christ. So let's join together to sing For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
let us pray. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The Advent themes ring out and remind us of a God of power and your presence and your power in our world. And you remind us of that potential that still is to come. So for us, this is the beginning of the Advent season. A day of anything is surely, a first day of anything is surely excitement. The new, the novel, we thank you. For the thing untried and the fresh experience. The first time that we tasted grapefruit or blackcurrant jam. Thank you for the rich variety in our world and for all the new things that this challenging season has brought to us. Yet in the church's life, we have been in this place before. This may be the first Sunday in Advent, but we have been at this first day before. We are familiar and there is no novelty for us here. We think we know how it will be. Forgive us. Forgive us for taking things for granted. Forgive our easy contempt of the familiar, as well as forgive us for the fear of what is new. Inconvenient Advent, with its extra days that mean it cannot be ordered and packaged and sold to us and must be rounded to a convenient 24 or 25 days, like a real pregnancy, the exact length of which is not known. Inconvenient Advent with extra days that mean the calendars do not fit and the candles are not long enough. You remind us that life is not easily packaged. It is more complex than we pretend it is. Inconvenient Advent. During this season, we have learned some of your lessons. Our systems do not hold you or confine you, our God. God of the generous and God who is the giver of extra, we thank you for this Advent gift, a gift that surprises, a gift that challenges, a gift that says to us, even in this flux and this odd season, it is not outside of God's love and God's power and God's presence. Thank you for a time to prepare and a time to wait. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you speak to us?
Good morning. Very simple this morning. I'm going to take my hands like this, and I'd like you to do the same. And the challenge is very simple. I will clap, and I'd like you to watch for when I clap. And when I clap, you clap, okay? Very simple. So, are we ready? I think there's a bit of a time lag on Zoom. Let's try it again. But that was pretty good. Lots of you were doing it right. Ready? I'm counting a couple of seconds after I've done it so that I can see whether you're doing it. Right, I'm going on to page 2 of my photos of Zoom so I can see if people on here are doing it. So who have we got here? We've got Catherine. And we've got Alistair and Liz and Janine and people like John Fisher. So I've got my eyes open. Here we go. Ready? Pretty good. Right, last page. I'm going on to the third page. We've got, who we got here? We've got people like Bron and Catherine's on this page as well. You're on every page. Get off. Right, Bron, Myrtle and Linda. Oh, I can see Kevin's thumb giving me the thumbs up there. Who else have we got? We've got Connie and Ruth. Right, are we ready? Watching. Pretty good. That is pretty good. But 2 seconds after me, but you were all in time with each other. Why are we doing this? We ask ourselves. Today is Advent Sunday. It's a really good illustration of what Advent's about, watching and waiting. Waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus, which we will celebrate no matter who we're with, or where we are, we can still celebrate Christ in Christmas. No virus or government or anything else can stop us from doing that. And it made me think of a song that I used to like singing. I'm just going to read a few verses and we'll have it as a prayer. God in my hoping, there in my dreaming, God in my watching, God in my waiting, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything. Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, you are everything. Amen.
Two readings today. The first is from the prophet Isaiah, which Will read to us. And the second is from Mark, which Stuart will read to us. The Isaiah text is a prayer pleading with God to rip open the heavens and charge down to rescue God's people. And then Mark, a very strange passage. Mark 13 is a very odd chapter. If you ever read the whole of Mark's gospel, which, let's be clear, there's nothing on the telly this afternoon. You could get through it in an hour and a half. It's 16 chapters. It's no length at all. But chapter 13 is a very strange chapter. Scholars speculate that the background to Mark's gospel is the Judean revolt against Roman rule, 66 to 70 AD, which Rome responded to with fury and destroyed the region. So let's listen for the word of God and then to the sermon.
Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9. Why don't you tear the sky apart and come down? The mountains would see you and shake with fear. They would tremble like water boiling over a hot fire. Come and reveal your power to your enemies and make the nations tremble at your presence. There was a time when you came and did terrifying things that we did not expect. The mountains saw you and shook with fear. No one has ever seen or heard of a God like you who does such deeds for those who put their hope in him. You welcome those who find joy in doing the right thing, those who remember how you want them to live. You were angry with us, but we went on sinning. In spite of your great anger, we have continued to do wrong since ancient times. All of us have been sinful. Even our best actions are filthy through and through. Because of our sins, we are like leaves that wither and are blown away by the wind. No one turns to you in prayer. No one goes to you for help. You have hidden yourself from us and have abandoned us because of our sins. But you are our Father, Lord. We are like clay, and you are like the potter. You created us, so do not be too angry with us or hold our sins against us forever. We are your people. Be merciful to us. Here endeth the reading. Amen.
Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you all, keep awake. Here endeth the lesson. Amen.
Hi, my name is Leslie Charlton, and I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. And we hope you're flourishing during this season. Hope it's okay. But if things are difficult, please give us a call and we'd be happy to listen. For now, the texts I'm preaching on are Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9, and then Mark 13, verses 24 to 37. We have a Zoom service that you'd be most welcome to join us with. But if you're just listening to this, please read the text first and then come back in. So this sermon is written in the context of my father's sudden decline in health. How long is this going on? If we knew that, then we would, but we don't. The exact day or the exact hour, who knows? If I knew when exactly, then I would do this or I would do that. And I have a brother who is isolating with vasculitis. Is it worth the risk? Who knows? And more, on the bigger scale, about the end for us all, we don't know the hour. And it's foolishness to think that we do. And anyone who says they do is talking nonsense. And more than that, if it's okay not to know. It's not failure. It's not lack of maturity. It's not lack of spiritual knowledge. As Jesus says, the angels don't know. He doesn't know. So how could we expect to know? The text from Isaiah is a prayer asking that God will rip over the heavens and charge down to rescue God's people. And it also bears saying that the prayer is offered at a time when Isaiah feels that God has abandoned them. You hid yourself and we transgressed, verse 5, and further, verse 7. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hands of iniquity. Or to put it another way, you are not present. We have done wrong things. Basically, we do wrong things and it's your fault because we need you to keep us on the straight and the narrow. That's immaturity. When you're a mature person, you do things that you believe to be right, regardless of who sees them. You have standards. You wash, even though no one will hug you. You don't steal from the petty cash, even though nobody is watching. You do jobs that nobody applauds. You do them because they are right. As mature Christian people, we need to be motivated by doing what is right and to keep on doing the right, whether we have a sense of God with us or not. We do not know the hour. We do, however, know that there are principles that need to guide our lives. Does it increase love? Does it work for justice? Is it kind? Does it come from a place of mercy? Does it affirm all people, not merely me and people who are like me? It's not that we are abandoned by God. It is that we are set free to follow and set free to make a choice. And we place ourselves like clay in the hands of the potter. Our aim is to be shaped by God and shaped for service. And that means that bits of us are going to need a major reshape. Bits of us increased, bits of us need to be moulded, and all of us will need to be changed. For we have a job to do. Most likely, it's the same job as we had before this all started. What's changed is how we do it. What was the core of what we used to do? Not, I used to meet up with my pals and go out for a coffee, but I had a group of friends and we supported one another and we enjoyed one another. So how do we do that now? What about the phone? What about sending a card? What about a present? What about making them something? What about writing a letter? What about arranging to go out for a walk together? What about praying for them and boldly telling them that you're going to be praying for them? All of that, and no mention of Zoom. Now, that's just an example. But what was the core of what we used to do, and how can we fulfill that purpose in a different way? We as a community used to fulfill part of our mission. We did other stuff, but part of our mission by being a welcoming place where people would sort of stroll in through the building on a Sunday, sometimes quite regularly. Now, few people stroll past the building because the building, Kingston, is really empty. But now the option is there to invite people from all around the world to worship with us. Not the few people that stroll by. Literally, people from all around the world can be invited to worship with us on Zoom, or to look at the sermon, or to listen to it from the web pages. Our core task is to share the good news. That has not changed. How has changed? But that we do it is vital. This sort of radical change is exactly the issue that you get in the background in Mark's gospel. The temple where they believed God was has been destroyed by the time the early church would have read this text. If God was in the temple, and if the temple was destroyed, does that mean that God was destroyed as well? A desolation sacrilege will pollute the temple, and there will be tribulations like false prophets and false messiahs. And the inference is that the temple will no longer be a location for God. For the writer of Mark, it's a major theme. Where do we find God? The answer is not in the temple, but on the cross. Not in the center of power and authority, but in the wilderness. And where do we look for God in this Advent season? But we need to be careful about thinking that we're looking for God. There's a problem, because that which is unhelpful and leads us away from God often can have the appearance of being that which is good. We need a reality check. or as Mark puts it, stay alert, verse 23, keep awake, verse 37. We need to be watchful and discerning, especially when chaos abounds, like now. We do what we believe to be God's will, regardless of what they are doing. It's legal. There's no basis for our choices. It might be legal. It might be fine for everybody else, but it is not okay for us and what we need to do. Everybody else is doing it. That is the call of a child. It is not the call of a mature Christian. God is soon to be born among us. But that what will not happen is that a massive human ego comes onto the earth. God is not like us, a fragile with an ego that is vulnerable. God is perfection. And God's ways are not our ways. Perfect love, perfect mercy, perfect justice. God is not like us. God is not held to our half-baked standards. You could argue that this strange chapter in Mark 13 is actually Jesus at his pastoral best. It might look like devastation and defeat, but actually it is God's victory. Out of the turmoil and confusion surrounding the destruction of the temple, there will be a new sense of the presence of God. Out of the suffering and death of the Messiah, there will be new life. What new life will come to us through all of this? At the very least, I am looking forward to having less trips to East Croydon, to meetings in the synod. May it please God that they keep them on Zoom. And certainly for Kingston Unite Reformed Church, this is going to involve a new congregation that meets with us on Zoom, at the very least, and there will be other things. For this season, though, God's new way of being with humanity will come and will mean a cross. A cross that becomes the gateway to life. And a manger that is the gift of salvation for the world. Amen.
So let us pray. For those who have waited for years for the dawn, for those for whom hope seems dim, for those whose mourning brought the unexpected, for those struggling to adjust to new realities, for those whose fires have grown faint, for those ignoring the signs of the times, for those struggling to keep awake, for those who we know and those that we love. Lord, for all these we pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Notices, twice as long as the sermon. I exaggerate, but you get the point. You may have noticed that there is a plan to cut the British aid budget. For some, the 7% commitment has been a thing that they are proud of our government for, and this is a serious challenge. The United Reformed Church invites people to get in touch with their MP and express their views, and that is the way to let our views be known. And the whole issue of the challenge of our world leads me to the 24 hours of prayer, which starts on Friday at 6 in the morning. It will all be available on Zoom. So wherever you are in the world, you can come and join us for 24 hours in prayer. You can, and the thing about it is you can come in, you can go out, you can, nobody's there with a chart. It is hard to leave, but that's only because it's so glorious. But just come and go, and you can click in and click out. and it will be led by a whole range of different people on a whole range of different topics. If you would like to host, lead an hour, which doesn't mean we want it, you're going to have to like preach sermon after sermon after sermon and fill every minute. No, some themes, a bit of music, some thoughts, some silence. Gorgeous, lovely, lovely, lovely. Some poetry. You could do some dance. Oh, that was just mine, fabulous. Just do it. Let me know. It's good. We would like a strange selfie of you, please, for the party. We're going to play a game to guess who's who. The party is on Saturday the 12th at 3 in the afternoon. We want you to take a strange picture of you and send it to Han Sol. Picture of your head or your hand or your... Hey, you could wear a mask. Now, there's a good idea. There's a novel idea. Yeah. Take a picture and send it to Han Sol. Once we've finished our time together, I'll send you all the details. For our service on the 13th, which is our gift service, usually we buy toys and gifts for WellCare. Well, this year they've asked that we would give money, Virgin money, and I will send you all the details with the notices after this. And while we're on the subject of giving for specific causes, you will remember that there's a request for Link for Hope, that we give £10 for a shoebox. Get in touch with Janine or put the money into the church funds and label it. That would be great. This week, we start our Advent calendar. The link will be sent to you. And click on the website and see the pictures. There'll be a picture every day. Come and see everybody's hard work in terms of building up the photographs and the artwork. And thanks to John Watts for putting that together. There's an alternative Christmas card going to be produced this year where we can send greetings to one another. The information was sent out to everybody on the 20th of November. In this extraordinary and difficult year, it's been a tough one for many charities. And the idea is that we would raise some money for Christian Aid, as well as using that vehicle to send our best wishes to one another. And thanks to Denise and Barbara for organising this for us. The building will be open today for prayer from 4:30 till 6. And as from the Sunday the 6th, we will revert to our pattern of worship with a service at 5. News of people. Margaret Golding is with us today. She has had a fall, but she went home straight away. And I hope you're recovering well, Margaret. And Nigel Tunley, the shocking news of the week, is going to have heart surgery this week. Where that heart surgery is, it feels like it's changing all the time. I heard from Nigel now that they're thinking about St. George's, not Harefield, but St. George's. So we'll keep you posted. Wherever it is, it's a major heart surgery, so could you please pray for Nigel at this time? And just before we move on to our communion and I dedicate the offering, I would remind you that the church's financial responsibilities are ongoing in terms of ministry and mission, as well as the building. And also to tell you that there are a whole load of new opportunities that will cost us money in the setup, and that also must be paid for. So now let us dedicate our offerings of bread and wine and money. So we pray. Holy One, this Advent season we wait in hope and we give in hope. Hope for your coming reign. Receive our offerings and use them for your work of healing and hope in our world. Lord, we pray. Amen. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the prophets gave us many names to use when we speak of Jesus. Friend, disciple, neighbor, beloved. Jesus gives us many names to use when we speak to each other. Communion, Eucharist, Heavenly Banquet, the Lord's Supper. This meal is known by many names, but only one person prepares it and invites us to partake of it, and that is the Christ, our brother, our saviour, our friend. And in a way that we cannot explain, we are never closer to Christ than when we dine together. The invitation is for each and every one of us, all who are faithful and all who are doubtful, all who are fearful and all who are strong. So come to the table. It may be familiar. It may be brand new. This table does not belong to the United Reformed Church. It belongs to Jesus Christ, and it is he who invites everyone to share in the bread of life and the cup of grace. Come, let us share this joyful feast, for all is ready. And hear the narrative of the institution as it was recorded for us by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of the Lord Jesus and following his example, we take this bread and this cup and we give thanks. Let us pray. Creator God, who dreamed the earth into being, who placed the sun and moon and stars in their orbits, who contained the seas and the waves in their place, who peopled this planet, we praise you. Redeemer God, who chose this earth as your home, who knelt in the dust to pour out your life, whose death shook the heavens, whose coming again brings healing and good news, we praise you. Sustainer God, who witnesses all that takes place on the earth, who knows our suffering and the suffering of millions, who holds all who faint from fear and foreboding, who knits all together for good with those who love you, we praise you. Earthly God, present with us in bread and wine and flesh and blood, pour out your spirit on these gifts. Transform them for the work of your kingdom, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, and this wine as the blood of Christ. And we would know in our eating and drinking that we are united with you, that we are united with one another, that we are united with our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world and all through time. Gracious God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, as we read the signs of the times, as we fear for the future of our planet, as we tremble at the shaking of our certainties, teach us to trust you and still to praise you, now and forever. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, and shared it with them. He took wine, poured out, blessed it, and gave it to them. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. So let us pray. You call us to be alert, for we do not know the hour of your coming. Wake us up to the signs of change, to live now as you call us to live, to be prepared for your coming, and to know that even in the darkness, you are with us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will not pass away. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we're going to sing our final hymn, and then we'll say a benediction. And after that, breakout rooms. Please stay, and if you can't bear a breakout room, you've had enough of Zoom, then be bold and give somebody a call, and use this as a golden opportunity to make some links with people. But now let us sing, There Is a Redeemer. Love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love wherever they are. Amen.